coming up on All Access.
Enjoy the show.
Go get him, huh?
Pulls the trigger, caught. Woodhead, 10, 5, and he is in. Touchdown, Danny Woodhead.
Hey, win's a win, baby. Fought to the end, that's what it takes. Team on three. 1, 2, 3.
It's kind of the Pittsburgh offense and the Baltimore defense combined with the Baltimore special teams.
I don't think there's many high school baseball coaches who have a baseball player who never played football in high school playing in the NFL right now.
All Vince kept saying was we just needed one person to make one play and to end the game.
Fires to the right, intercepted in the end zone.
Thank heaven for Devin. The Patriots hung on to win last Sunday and tightened their grip on the AFC East division lead. Welcome to Patriots All Access, everyone. I'm Steve Burton. For the second straight week, the Patriots will be home. This week, taking on an Indianapolis Colts team that is one of the feel-good stories of the year. We'll examine the Colts game from all different angles. But first, let's look back at the sights and sounds from the win over the Bills.
The sights and sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the Patriots.
It's game time, baby.
All right, C-Bass, let's go, baby. Enjoy the show. B!
You're having a great day, man.
It's going to be a grind, I'm telling you right now. It's our most physical game.
Go get him, huh?
See ya.
Looks to the left, thanks to run up the field, going to be sacked. Back inside the 15-yard line, he made it fumble the ball, I think he did. Patriots recover.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
Good awareness on Spiller.
Hand off to the right, Ridley pounds it down and in. Touchdown.
Hey, baby. Hey, good job, boy. Good job.
He's done, bro.
Handoff comes to Danny Woodhead. Big hole to the left. He's to the five. He's in the end zone. Wow. I mean, he got there in a hurry.
Go, Woody. Go.
Hey, good job, baby.
We got to keep the pedal down. We got to keep chugging, man. We got to keep chugging.
Looks, rolls to the right, pulls the trigger, caught. Woodhead, 10, 5, and he is in. Touchdown, Danny Woodhead.
All scoring plays, of course, are reviewed.
Hey, he wants to take it away.
After reviewing the play, the ruling on the field is confirmed. Touchdown.
Forcing on the runs, be alert for Spiller, the screens, don't run by him, make sure we know where he is, and play with more awareness, man. We'll go out and win this game.
Snap to Fitzpatrick, looking over the middle, fires to the right, intercepted in the end zone. Intercepted by Devin McCourty. And that will be all she wrote.
Nice job, buddy.
All
right, fellas, I told you at the beginning of the week that the winner of this game was either going to be, it's either going to really tighten the waist or race, or it's going to cause some separation. So we got another one this week with Indianapolis. So it's a big game. We don't have many games left, and each one gets bigger and bigger. So it's a big week for us. All right? I think this would be a good time to give thanks to the veterans that we honor today who fought
so that we could have this game.
Yep.
That's what this country's about, is to be able to go out there and fight and have the freedom so that we can go out there and do what we do. So giving them a little love and a little thanks would be very appropriate today and this Veterans Day.
Hey, win's a win, baby. Fought to the end. That's what it takes. Team on three. 1, 2, 3! Hey!
Today's Coffee with the Coach is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to sit down with the coach, and Coach Belichick joins me. And, Coach, first of all, congratulations on the win. You look at before the bye. You guys go and you play the St. Louis Rams, and I think you take a step forward on defense. Did a really good job against Sam Bradford and company. Offensively, you guys were hitting on all cylinders. You have the bye. You come out, you get the win, and you're always talking about improving. Not really happy with the results all around, though, all three phases. Fair to say that there's a lot of room for improvement?
Oh, yeah, it sure is. We just, did some good things in the game, but just not consistently. We had our opportunities to kind of put the game away or take more control of the game than we did against Buffalo, and we just weren't able to capitalize on that. Fortunately, we were able to make enough plays to win, and we'll try to see if we can take some of those steps this week.
All right, big news this week, obviously, Aqib Talib, he's in, it's official. How do you get a guy like that ready to play on such a short notice? Is it a crash course? Do you spoon feed him? Is it a little bit at a time, or is it just inundate him with film study? How do you get him ready to go?
Well, I think the big thing is to try to very quickly build a foundation, a base terminology-wise, and try to get him a little bit up to speed of what we're doing, and then the rest of it really is just concentrating on the game plan. There'll be a lot of things in our defense that we really won't go over with him because we're not planning on using him against the Colts, so we'll just concentrate on the things that we think will come up in the Indianapolis game and try to get him ready on those. And be a combination of film, practice, walkthroughs, and fortunately he's a pretty experienced guy, so I think that he'll be able to adjust. But there'll be some newness, no question.
It's kind of uncharted territory for you for having a guy like this come in, or maybe I can't remember where you picked up Gaffney. And, he helped out offensively right away for you guys. But it is kind of easing him into it, and he's got to get acclimated as quick as possible, right, because people expect him to play.
Well, I mean, the big thing is if he can help us play, then, we'll put him in there. And if we don't think there's certain situations he's ready for, then he won't be in there. But the thing about offense is you can control where the guy lines up, what the play is you're calling when you put him in there defensively. You have no idea. They could be running whatever they want to run, and you have to defend it. So it's a little bit different on the defensive side of the ball when you put a player in the game. You just have more control on offense because you're controlling the play.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach. Coach will rejoin me later in the show as we talk about the Colts, but more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We follow Donald Thomas's path to the NFL.
We never had a football team here in career, and still don't, so Donald decided that he needed to pick up a sport, and I think baseball and basketball became his sports.
We sit down with Patriots defensive back Devin McCourty.
Coach kind of used me as a guy that can move and play both positions, so I just take it with an open mind and go play either position.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of service to their clients. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Number 20, tight end and cornerback, Angelo Dumbler.
We're going to go 6-2.
Yes.
All right, everybody puts it.
Yes.
Right, here we go, let's do it.
Yes.
Earlier this week, Patriot players spent a portion of their off day helping to teach and coach the game they love to a group of 20 area youth football players.
All right, we get back to work now, all right? Bring it in here. All three are going to say hard work, all right? 1, 2, 3!
Hard work!
All right, let's get back out there, man.
You got to depend on one another, fellas. Don't be selfish, okay? Don't be selfish. At the end of the day,
ready
to go.
1, 2, 3!
Welcome back to All Access. For the first time this year, New England will play back-to-back games here in Foxborough. After a less-than-perfect performance on defense against the Bills, Dan Roach tells us that they are getting a new player up to speed to help out against the Colts.
It wasn't pretty, but the Patriots held on for a 37-31 win over the Buffalo Bills last week here in Foxborough. A win that moved them to 6-3 on the season.
Fred Jackson to the right, cuts it a little bit to the left, on his feet at the five, and in. Touchdown, that's all Fred Jackson.
Meanwhile, the Pats defense gave up 31 points and 481 yards of total offense to Buffalo, so they know where their focus needs to be this week.
We're just out trying to get better, you know, all of us together. We want to focus on getting better as a unit and going out and winning football games, and that's where our focus is right now. It's on the Indianapolis Colts, getting better and trying to win this game.
Newly acquired cornerback Aqib Talib joined the Patriots this week and should help, and he's happy to be here.
It's a great opportunity, man, with a great organization, you know, just to come in and do what I can to help win some ball games.
I'm happy that he's a Patriot. He's a very talented young man, and, you know, hopefully he can put those talents to use and help this football team win games.
However, it's probably unrealistic for Pats fans to think that any one player will come in and be the instant quick fix to any problems the secondary has experienced.
You know, it's just with any other guy in the defense, you know, you come in, you know, obviously he's learning and, he's hitting the ground running. So, you know, we're just here to help him out and help his transition.
The Patriots will be facing a 6-3 Colts team Sunday that has been one of the best stories of this NFL's young season, inspired by their head coach Chuck Pagano, who is battling leukemia, and led by this year's number one overall pick in the draft out of Stanford, quarterback Andrew Luck.
You know, for those rookies, it's coming right from college to this position is very challenging. I mean, it's real credit to them and their ability to transition and focus on all these new things that have really come about and to go out there and play well.
Interesting stat regarding Andrew Luck. He's only the second quarterback in the history of the National Football League to have four 300-yard passing games in his rookie season. The other quarterback, Peyton Manning. Symmetry, interesting in the NFL. For Patriots All Access from the CBS scene here in Foxborough, I'm Dan Roach.
Roachy, thank you very much. I'm Brian Lowe, joined by Devin McCourty. Devin, thanks for stopping by.
No problem.
Most recent Patriots game, the final play of that game, was really a play that you probably enjoyed walking off the field with the interception against the Bills, winning that game, a big divisional game. Why don't you take us through that play as we get started here?
Just counting down, the game was close. I think it was probably about 30 to 40 seconds left. All Vince kept saying was we just needed one person to make one play and end the game, and when you can end the game that way and go home with a win, I think that was the most important thing. It was a game we really wanted to get, like you said, divisional game, and to win those is big. So we were happy we came out on top.
And obviously, turnover battle is something. You guys always go into a game hoping to win. You had a forced fumble, two big turnovers in the red zone, a forced fumble earlier on. Same day, your brother had a turnover as well, prior maybe around the same time. Do you guys, at the end of any football Sunday, text each other, call each other, see who has bragging rights on any given day?
Yeah, usually I get the information from my mom as soon as the game's over, especially if we play at the same time. I hit my mom up, and she was at the game this weekend, so as soon as I came out, she was like, Jay got a forced fumble and a fumble recovery too, so it's pretty cool when we're both able to make plays on the same weekend for our team.
She have a little tally board in the refrigerator at home, Jason, Devin.
She has the schedules, though. Make sure she can kind of split the games evenly.
And she already had week one where she got to see both of you at the same time.
That was the best moment for her.
All right, now you've played cornerback, obviously, been playing a lot of safety now. Do you have a preference? Do you go in week by week and get a feel for, well, where you might play and have a preference for where you might play?
No, I try to keep an open mind about whatever the team needs. Each week it can change, especially, I know everyone knows injuries happen so much in this league. So whenever we need help, you know, coach kind of used me as a guy that can move and play both positions. So I just take it with an open mind and go play either position.
A newcomer to the team this week, getting ready as you guys get ready for the Colts, Aqib Talib. Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to work with him much? Where do you see him at? Are you guys getting comfortable with him as a new defensive player in your system?
He's a good player, and I think whenever you could get a guy, you know, with his size and his abilities, he can help us out in so many different ways. So, you know, having Coach Belichick, however he draws it up for him to get in there and help us win some games, I think it'll be key for us. And, you know, just talking to him, he's excited to be here. He's excited to, you know, go out there and show his ability. So I think it'll be a good guy for us to have back there in the secondary.
Okay, Devin McCourty, thank you very much. Good luck on Sunday. We'll be back with much more Patriots All Access right after this.
too much Gronk maybe not a good thing?
That's an actual life-size cake of me.
Lucky Patriots fans who were winners of a Dunkin' Donuts contest found out when they had a chance to meet the Patriots tight end.
So awesome to be able to get a picture with Rob Gronkowski and be able to be here right now in the Patriots stadium.
During the event, a life-size Gronk cake was unveiled.
When people make my day on their team, make me laugh all day, keep the locker room loose, I'm in a better mood, so that I can do that, and especially for the kids. I mean, anything for the kids.
Pulled from the pages of Patriots Football Weekly is this interesting fact. The Patriots have two players on their current roster, offensive lineman Dan Connolly and safety Steve Gregory, who have brothers that are professional chefs in New York City. For the most up-to-date Patriots analysis, check out the latest edition of Patriots Football Weekly.
Today's no-nonsense conversation with the coach is brought to you by SBLI, Teddy Bruschi's choice for life insurance. Visit SBLI.com for a free quote.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Coach rejoins me now as we talk about the Colts. Here we go again. It's Colts-Patriots, but it's still not the same. You guys aren't the same. Neither are they. They're doing a lot of things differently. When you look at them on film, this is a completely different machine, right?
Well, it really is. It's kind of the Pittsburgh offense and the Baltimore defense combined with the Baltimore special teams. So
a little bit of everything sprinkled in.
They've done a good job of integrating a lot of new people, a lot of new concepts and schemes together, and won four in a row, playing very well. And in all three phases of the game, and they're a good football team. They've got a lot of good young players. They've also got some good experienced players that they're very capable as well. So it'll be a big challenge for us this week.
All right, I'm sure we'll take a look at Luck later in the Bellastrator, but you've had your share, and you've coached against a lot of rookie quarterbacks. Is he as good as you've seen coming out, being ready to play at this level?
He's been very impressive, absolutely very impressive. He can make all the throws. He's got a good arm. And shows a lot of poise in the pocket. And I think the big thing is when he gets pressure, what he seems to be doing very well is getting his eyes down the field. He's not dropping his eye level and watching the rush. He's able to stand there and kind of feel the rush but still look downfield and make big plays in the passing game. And he's had a lot of chunk plays, 20, 25, 30-yard type plays, where he's able to stand in the pocket and let it go even though there are guys all around him. Kind of like Roethlisberger.
Okay. You're getting ready to play a pretty good football team. Yeah, and I'm sure you're aware of the story, too, of Coach Pagano and what he's gone through. You know, it's a big story in the league, and they seem to be riding that little bit of an emotional edge. Is that a tough thing to prepare for and coach against when you got a team coming in that's hot, plus they also have that going for them, playing for somebody?
Right. Well, I mean, we expect every team's best every week. So, whatever they can do to get to that, I'm sure they're going to try to do. We've got to try to be at our best and go out there and play as good a football game as we can.
All right, time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week. Comes from @BoboF, and he writes, you know, we just talked about it in the show, implementing a new player to a new team halfway through. Which position, whether offense, defense, is the easiest to insert a guy and why?
Oh, I don't know. Well, probably the easiest would be
kicker. Right?
Kicker. Shane Graham.
Shane Graham.
But, they're all tough. And again, on defense, you're really at the mercy of what the offense is doing, too. You have less control offensively. At least when you put a guy in, you can say, okay, we're only going to call these plays. You're only going to line up in these spots. Defensively, there's no telling. So they're all tough, though. It's tough to, come in and, look, we've been practicing and meeting and going through things all year. And there's a level of consistency and knowledge and communication and confidence with each other. And you put somebody new in the mix, and there's just no way that that's the same all the way across the board. But, we've got 7 regular season games left. We'll take it one game at a time, one day at a time, and see where we can get to.
All right, sounds good. If you want to ask the coach a question, you've got to follow us on Twitter, @Patriots, #it, AskBB. We're going to be back later with the Bellastrator. A little bit of Luck, a little bit of Reggie Wayne and all that stuff.
You got it.
All right, sounds good. Don't move right there, but first, more of All Access, then the Bellastrator, right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
Zoltan Mesko is our guide as we travel around Eastern Europe.
Hello, we are here at Corvin's Castle in Hunedoara, Romania.
And later, Coach Belichick goes to the Bellis Trainer to introduce us to a very different Indianapolis Colts team.
And this is a good example of what Luck's been doing this year.
And you're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette, the official shave of the New England Patriots. By Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the New England Patriots.
Congratulations to Scott Fry of Plymouth South High School. He's our Bob's Discount Furniture High School Coach of the Week. Plymouth clinched their first Atlantic Coast League title and a playoff berth by beating Nauset on this play. Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett. The Patriots Charitable Foundation will award $1,000 to the Plymouth South football program in the name of head coach Scott Fry.
This week's player profile is brought to you by Pepsi.
Earlier this season, we shared with you the story of punter Zoltán Mescal and a return home to his native Romania. This week, we follow Zoltán to one of the many castles that populate his native land.
My native Romania is an ancient place, steeped in history and myth. Many old castles dot the landscape, the grand homes of monarchs and warriors, and one infamous figure of whom I am sure you've heard.
Hello, we are here at Corvin's Castle in Hunedoara, Romania, one of many castles built in this country. In the 15th century, it was built for military purposes, and then in the 17th century, we had some monks move in here, along with some other interesting residents.
The Emperor of Luxembourg gave the castle to the Corvin family as a reward for military service.
This construction is considered one of the first influences in late Transylvanian architecture.
The castle remained in the Corvin family until 1508 with 22 subsequent owners. It's getting a little strange around here.
Here's the castle as well, a very dark history to it. Three Turks ended up dying after digging the hole and reaching water, having been promised their freedom before. They were then executed when they reached the water.
Restoration work began in 1997, but was delayed due to unseeable inhabitants roaming the castle. I kind of like it around here. Makes me feel a little transparent. In the mid-1400s, the Corvin family added this chapel as part of a remodeling project. This castle was the place where it is assumed that Vlad the Impaler, or Dracula, was imprisoned by Corvin. This is the Corvin family crest. This crest is hung in Knight's Hall from the five marble columns and ribbed vaults that support two halls. Do you believe in ghosts? Vlad the Impaler's reputation was considerably darker in Western Europe than in Eastern Europe.
This may even be one of the places its most famous captives was held, Dracula.
Dracul means dragon. Vlad's father was a member of the Order of the Dragon, and that is where the name derived. I think it might be time to go. I feel like someone's watching.
Congratulations to the Patriots Chairman of the Board and CEO Robert Kraft, who was honored this week by UMass Amherst with their Salute to Service Legacy Award.
The next person that we will recognize with a Salute to Service Legacy Award needs absolutely no introduction.
Mr. Kraft was selected for his long-standing philanthropic support for charities throughout New England. Proceeds from the event will go to fund two scholarships for UMass Amherst students.
We were truly honored when the call came to do this here for UMass, because for us, UMass represents something special, not just in Massachusetts, but in America.
Walking down the hallway his freshman year, you see a big 6'4", 235-pound kid, 245-pound kid walking in the hallways, and you just hope as a baseball coach that this kid's going to come out and try out. We never had a football team here at Career and still don't, so Donald decided that he needed to pick up a sport, and I think baseball and basketball became his sports. Into the athletic office. I still remember this. My father was the AD here and told both of us that he was going to play college football. I looked at him, my father looked at him, and kind of sighed and laughed a little bit. Not having a football program here, we thought it'd be very difficult for Donald to walk on at UConn or walk on at any program, not playing for the last 4 years. Donald looked at us and said, "Coach, I promise you I'll be a walk-on at UConn." Transitioning his baseball skills to his football skills in college. I think the baseball skills that helped him most were his footwork. He's a pitcher for me and a first baseman. Baseball did help him a little bit, and I know basketball helped him a lot with his footwork also. I think I influenced him a little bit to be a leader, to be a mentor. I think of a great student who came from a great family who never accepted the word no for an answer. I don't think there's many high school baseball coaches who have a baseball player who never played football in high school playing in the NFL right now. I just think he's an overall great kid who's made Career High School a bigger place to be with his name.
That was Donald Thomas's path to the NFL.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette Pro Fusion. Colts come to town. Andrew Luck comes to town. He's pretty good.
That's right. 6-3 Colts. Andrew Luck playing great for a rookie. What's he doing that's making him
He's
so good?
He's not running Peyton Manning's offense, and that's the key. It's tight. It's Pittsburgh Steeler type stuff, but they've taken Reggie Wayne. It's not the old Reggie Wayne.
Reggie Wayne
has become Hines Ward.
Ability.
Here's what makes Luck so good. He's really good in the pocket, keeping his head upfield. He's always waiting, looking for Wayne. They run a ton of spot routes. Now,
spot rights, obviously. Easy reads for the quarterback. You know, obviously, the defensive backs, lots of space there. He turned inside, easy catch. Turn outside, easy catch.
Big thing to help the quarterback read coverage, too, is motion. So they'll run a lot of that where he's doing the play fake, the deep play fake, little motion hitch, shows the ball, comes down. There you go. That's behind him. Look at that catch.
You know, also with the motion, what you have is, you know, the defense has to declare what they're doing.
Right.
For a young quarterback, you see man coverage, and they're following Reggie Wayne in motion. You know exactly what's going on. It's easier for you to make a decision.
Don't you think you got to blitz him too, though?
I think you need to challenge him. He's doing good against the blitz, and the Pats haven't blitzed that much. I think they're going to see a lot of it this week.
Real quick, let's show it. I'm Chandler Jones. I'm coming off the edge. You're going to be Hightower coming off. You're behind me. They'll line Jones up outside in that nine technique. He's doing such a good job getting upfield. And you've got to combo it right off his rear. Now, Luck keeps his eyes upfield. He can't watch these two. Somehow, you got to sneak one of the rooks on
his
way.
Yeah, if he's going to try and extend the play, if he's going to try and hit one of those checkdowns, you got to be able to knock that ball out of
his
hands.
That's rookie on rookie crime. Plus, it's Colts week. Let's get 7-3.
I'm Jackie Britton, and it's time now for our opponent news. The 6-3 Indianapolis Colts visit Gillette Stadium on Sunday afternoon. However, it's a much different Colts team coming to town than Patriots fans are accustomed to. Rookie Andrew Luck tops the list of newcomers on the Colts, and after 9 weeks, he hardly resembles a rookie. Even though it's his first Patriots-Colts game, he's well aware of the rivalry.
As a younger quarterback, you know, you always tried to watch that game just because those, you know, the two sort of benchmark for the position, you know, guys. So I remember some of the playoff games, you know, some of the late games. I think when Gillette still had, you know, grass, it was always, you know, muddy, you know, late in the year. Great games and, you know, great franchises.
For all the latest up-to-the-minute Patriots news, be sure to check out Brian Lowe and myself every day on Patriots Today. I've got a feeling Coach Belichick has some thoughts on the Colts QB. It's time now for the Belistrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Belistrator, brought to you by Putnam Investments. Got the Colts here. It looks like it's a little compact. It does look like Pittsburgh.
Well, they run really a very similar style to what Pittsburgh does. And you know, Reggie Wayne's kind of the Hines Ward in this offense. A lot of things on this play. First of all, Luck using the hard count to get Miami to jump offside. Then they go with a play action. And there's some pressure on the play. Miami's getting getting some pressure there on Luck, but he does a nice job of seeing the coverage and makes a great throw to Avery there, splitting the quarters coverage, puts the ball right on the money.
Heck of a throw
for a big game.
You know, and Reggie Wayne, it seems like they move him around where Colts in the past, when he was there, he'd be on one side of the field.
Exactly, okay. But this is like Hines Ward.
Gotcha.
He's always in motion. He's in close to the formation a lot. And of course, he's their leading receiver.
All right, a little more spread out here.
Right, and this is a good example of what Luck's been doing this year. He's done a nice job of this, stepping up in the pocket, kind of avoiding the rush, but keeping his eyes down the field. He's not always pulling the ball down to run or to throw some check down, but he'll put his eyes down the field, like Roethlisberger does. And in this case, he sees T.Y. Hilton coming down the sideline. He sees him on cover out there outside. It's a nice job of picking him up and putting the ball right there on the money for another big play.
Hilton's doing a nice job for him. You know, he doesn't get talked about a lot because of Luck, because of Wayne, but he's really productive.
Right, Hilton, Avery, I mean, they've got a good group of receivers. They're young, they're fast, and they make a lot of big plays.
All right, there's that Pittsburgh stack at the beginning of it where, you know, they kind of put those receivers in nice and tight.
Right, they give you a stack look, and then this is Wayne on the middle read. So, as usual, you know, nice release off the line. Runs through the linebacker there. Luck makes a good throw. You know, this is 25 seconds to go in the half, so it's just really a good situational play for the Colts. And, you know, they want to take a shot at the end zone. They get a little window there. Luck makes a great throw. Of course, Wayne's one of the most dependable receivers in the league. And, you know, a big touchdown right there against Minnesota right before the half.
It's not too smart to let him run freely down the middle of the football field.
No, it sure isn't.
All right, here we go again. Boy, this is not the usual offensive set you see week to week in the league.
This is, their young tight end, Dwayne Allen, number 83, rookie out of Clemson. And here he is running an over route. So they've got a lot of production out of the receivers. And their tight ends have done well, too. And, again, Allen's a big target, runs well. Here they hit him on the over route there against Jacksonville, off a little play action, good protection. You know, Luck steps up in the pocket and makes a nice throw, puts it right there on him. So they got a good group of skilled players, good quarterback. They're one of the top offensive teams in the league.
Boy, you got your hands full, Coach. All right, good luck this week. I know you got a short week next week, but take care of business on this one.
Thank you.
All right, there's your Belistrator. We'll be back with more of All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bank of America, the official bank of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Hey, I'm Romeo.
And I'm Shauna. And this week on a special Thanksgiving edition of Totally Patriots, we learn more about linebacker Nico Koutavides, including an interesting pet he had when he was younger.
My roommate had a gator in college.
Plus, we get to know some of your favorite Pats players like never before, hanging in Pats chat with Shauna.
I always looked up to The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Check us out every Saturday morning at 10 on MyTV 38.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Time now for our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And each week, every week, Bill Belichick talks about improving. But coming off that Buffalo game, Patriots take a step back, what do you think?
Well, you know, certainly defensively, yes. I think coming out of a bye, I think it was pretty reasonable to expect a little bit of an improvement. I thought they played their best game of the season in London just before the bye against the Rams, and I think we were looking to see some more of that aggressiveness on defense and some of those stops that we had seen. We didn't see any of it. Offensively, I thought they were terrific. They scored in their first four possessions of the game, three touchdowns. I thought they picked right up where they were. 37 points is a lot of points. I know people are fixating on that last drive, but I really didn't have much problem offensively.
Yeah, I thought they took a step back, Steve. I actually thought both offensively and defensively. I thought running game-wise, I thought with the big package, they couldn't get a yard. When you're first in goal at the two late in the game, I think you need to score there and close out the game. So I thought offensively, they took a step back, in my opinion. Defensively, no question about it. But here's the interesting thing. They actually took a step forward in terms of the AFC East. Every other team every other team loses, so they're ahead there, and they keep pacing the AFC. So it's sort of like, yes, they took a step back on the field, but where it counts, they actually took steps forward, two steps.
You guys talk about the defense, and rightfully so. What about the frustration level on the coaches end when they see players wide open in the end zone? What happens when that happens? How frustrated do you think these coaches are becoming?
Well, when you watch a guy like Bill Belichick and you see the entirety of his career, I don't think that he's looking to win a lot of games 37-31. And this is not really an aberration kind of a game for the Patriots over the last, say, 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. They've won a lot of games that have sort of gotten, you know, the Patriots have gotten in the 30s, the opponent's gotten in the 20s or the mid-20s, and it's sort of been a shootout. That's not the way he wants to play football. I thought you saw some of that exasperation on the sideline at times on Sunday. There was guys, Donald Jones was wide open on his touchdown. Scott Chandler was absolutely uncovered on his touchdown. It was almost like a, you know, what are we doing out there kind of thing. I'm sure this is keeping Belichick up at night. This is not the way he wants to win games.
I didn't pick up on the exasperation. I did see him at the end of the game with a hug for defensive coordinator Matt Patricia, which made me ask the question, is this the way they just play? Is this his philosophy that, hey, we're going to let teams, you know, march up and down the field? But
was that a hug or a sigh of relief?
Probably a little bit of both, Steve.
Right.
You know, and I think, to me, it comes down to philosophy. I mean, it seems to me that the Patriots are 31st in the league on third down. And is this a defense that is willing to concede the yards but says we'll stiffen up in the critical situations, which we've talked about, Paul, for 4 or 5 years in the red zone, in the critical moments of the game to get a turnover? And I guess the question is that good enough in today's NFL? Because when Mark Sanchez, Russell Wilson, Ryan Fitzpatrick are carving you up and these games are closer, maybe it's a matter of philosophy. Maybe there's a change that you might want to consider to maybe try to dictate play more with more blitzing, more pressure pack.
Speaking of talent, they bring in a new player this week, Aqib Talib. Are the expectations too high on this guy that he can come in and be the savior?
You don't think he's Deion Sanders?
No, I don't, but I haven't seen him play enough.
And we're all guilty of it. I think we're expecting a lot. It's a troubled guy that they went out and got, so they obviously thought it was worth the risk. So I think that sort of increases what you think of the guy's ability, because you know they wouldn't go out and trade for a guy who's been in a lot of trouble and was currently on the suspended list if they didn't think he was a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there are a lot of expectations here with Talib. I think he's a good player. I'm anxious to see him to get started, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see him do that Sunday. But I don't think that it's really fair to have the expectations of having one guy sort of lift a defense, especially coming off of that effort.
Can one player change a secondary?
I think it can, Steve. I mean, whether he can, I'm not sure, but I definitely think one player can change the secondary. And I think you look at what the Patriots gave up. I mean, not that a fourth-round pick, in my opinion, was anything over the top, but that is a significant asset to give up. So to me, it tells me that they think he can help turn around the fortunes of the secondary. So I'm anxious to see it. I think he'll play and should play a lot.
Prediction time.
Yeah, I love the story, and I love the Colts situation.
There's a butt coming.
Yeah, no, I just don't think there's enough talent there to come in. I think the Patriots are going to be a little bit geared up for this one after the performance. I don't think they were very happy after the game on Sunday. I think very similar to what I thought last week. I thought a 38-23. I'm going to stick with the same exact prediction and take away a touchdown from the opposition this week. I think the Patriots have too much offense for Indianapolis. I think Luck will feel some pressure trying to keep up with Tom Brady and eventually make some mistakes.
Yeah, I like the Patriots big in this game. I think the defense will play better. I think it'll tackle better, although there are still some long-term questions. I'll go 42-17 Patriots. One stat to me that stands out, the Colts are -9 in the turnover differential. Well, the Patriots lead the league. I think that'll be key in the game.
All right, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, that would do it for this week's edition of Patriots All
All Access for Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everyone. See you later.